From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The Biden administration will end most federal COVID-19 vaccine requirements next week, rolling back a vast assertion of government power that helped bring an end to the worst public health threat in 100 years. So what does that mean moving forward? Here today to answer that question is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. And remember, if you have a question in regards to public health, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Pate, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Okay, so as I mentioned, Dr. Pate, this public health emergency ends next week. Our listeners, can you talk to them about what this means? Because, our COVID rates are still high. But as we said, the federal oversight of this is ending.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing for listeners to realize is that the end of the public health emergency does not mean the end of COVID. It means the end of a lot of government programs and resources that are directed at COVID. So for those of us that received the free masks or the free home tests, those kind of things will be over now. Additionally, whereas no one has had to pay for a COVID vaccine up to this point, now some people, particularly those that don't have governmental insurance or insurance through a qualified ACA plan may now have to mm-hmm. start paying for that. So there's a number of things that start going into effect over time, but just keep in mind, this does not mean the pandemic is over.
And with that said, Dr. Pate, we've had questions come in from our listeners about this. So Lisa from Boise wrote in and Sarah wrote in as well, both wanting to basically know about how you find out about transmission numbers. Like Sarah asked, she goes, can you please tell us the COVID transmission rate in Ada County every week? And Lisa wanted to know when the public health emergency ends, will St. Luke's and St. Al's and the state of Idaho still post their test positivity rates? I know you may not have the specifics on this, Dr. Pate, but a lot of people still want this information, but I am assuming it may be harder to come by.
You're right, Gemma. We are going to see less data and less timely updated. And so it is going to be harder to tell. Already, there's one state that has stopped reporting its data. There is likely, and already we've seen the change, for example, in our local water testing, in the state reporting, that we're seeing data that is, one or two or more weeks old. So you're not going to be able to, in previous years on your show, I was able to look at multiple data sources and start to see changes and be able to warn your audience. I won't mm-hmm. have that ability anymore, very likely. The other thing that is concerning is that the CDC did just indicate to hospitals that at an upcoming point in time, and I don't believe they've identified what time, there's quite a few things that hospitals are currently reporting that they will no longer be required to do. And so I think it is going to increasingly make it difficult to know exactly what's happening out there. I have not heard from St. Luke's or St. Al's whether they plan to continue to post their data. I certainly hope so. I think it's been very, very helpful. But it is just like your listeners say, it's going to be a lot harder to tell what's going on there. I'll do the best that I can from what I see in publicly available sources, what I hear from the professionals I talk to, and what I'm seeing in other parts of the world. But it's going to be harder.
Mm-hmm. And with that said, Dr. Pate, can we talk about what we're seeing in some hospitals around the world? And this is an uptick in COVID cases. I believe the latest one was in the UK. Is this at all related to a lot of hospitals now also going mask optional? That's happening here locally. But this is a trend that we're seeing, you know, across the globe.
Yes. I'm very concerned that, we seem to have a limited stamina in the United States and in the world for tolerating inconvenience that allows us to help control the spread of an illness that most people are no longer scared of. I'm not sure their lack of fear is well placed, but nevertheless, they're not afraid of. And unfortunately, it is putting the elderly and the immunocompromised and those that have underlying health conditions and our youngest of children at increased risk. So you're exactly right. What we have seen is this kind of gradual movement to a life before the pandemic, even though the pandemic's not over. And so we are seeing people who previously exercised good behaviors stop doing so. And so, as you said, there are some hospitals here in the United States and in other countries that have gone mask optional. Just in the past 2 weeks, I've picked up on 5 hospital outbreaks that have occurred. So this is putting people at risk. And I certainly hear the stories of some whose family members were in the hospital and got infected and had bad outcomes. In addition, and as you know, Gemma, over the course of the past few years, where I previously revered the CDC, over this pandemic, I have scratched my head many times to try to understand what is going on with the CDC. And ironically, they, after having postponed their meeting of their Epidemic Intelligence Service for mm-hmm. the period of the pandemic, they just had their first in-person meeting in Atlanta. And lo and behold, who would have guessed, with these people not wearing masks indoors at a conference, they have an outbreak, and at least 35 people are reported to be infected. I'm sure there's more or will be more, but you know, it's just our constant reminder that COVID is still here. And I'm afraid that people have been lulled into this sense that, well, but if people aren't dying, which there are people still dying, but mm-hmm. most people are not seeing that. And if people aren't being in the hospital, and certainly we have had lower pressures on our hospitals, then we have nothing to fear. That assumption, I think, is not well founded, because as you and I have talked about, there are many other bad things that can happen to you over time. And I fear that we really don't know all the long-term consequences that are possible from COVID and repeated COVID infections.
So, Dr. Pate, where are we then for folks who are still trying to make sure that they are updated with their vaccines? Because there are a lot of us. We talked about this a little bit last week, but where are we in terms of the FDA approval and folks getting another booster?
Yes. So the FDA did take action to amend the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines. And this would be the new, what a lot of people call the new updated vaccines. I would call it the bivalent vaccine because it has two mixtures in it. It has kind of the original virus, and then it has the BA4, BA5 virus in it, the spike protein from it. So that vaccine has now been authorized by the FDA. And then the CDC director did just sign off on that. So now almost anyone is eligible for the bivalent vaccine if they haven't previously had it. So children and up to the very elderly, if you haven't had a bivalent vaccine, you are almost certainly eligible for one. So you should talk to your doctor about that. For those who are at increased risk, either by age, or which they're using 65 and older, or by underlying medical illnesses that would put them at high risk, or immunocompromise of a moderate or severe degree, those people can actually get a second bivalent or the new up-to-date booster now. And that has been authorized by the CDC, so providers can start giving that now.
Okay, and then I'm sure over time that would then open up to the general public at some point with that second bivalent booster shot.
That's right, Gemma. What we anticipate is that we will hear about that perhaps as soon as next month, but certainly before fall, because I believe the intention that has been stated by the vaccine committee of the FDA is to decide what formulation do they want to use for the upcoming fall booster. Mm. In other words, will they continue with the old virus plus the new version or some newer version in that vaccine? They're going to decide that question hopefully in the next month or so, and then make the announcement as to who is eligible for that in this fall. And we're anticipating that it will be much broader in the fall.
Okay. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you and all of this information. Thank you for keeping us up to date.
Sure thing, Gemma. Bye-bye.
Bye. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. And remember, if you have a public health question, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series, Taking Cover.